This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I speak to you in the name of the Good Shepherd, by whom we are known and loved, and to whom we belong. This year is a milestone year for me. I have been at professional ministry for exactly one half of my whole life, 23 years. I giggle when I think of the 23-year-old me setting up an office at St. James's Church. I've been hired to do youth ministry, and I was enrolled as a student at the now-closed Presbyterian School of Christian Education. As part of my studies, I was to create my own theory of Christian education. I've searched in vain for this paper over the years, and it's most likely on a floppy disk in a landfill where it rightfully belongs. But I do remember the main concept. Christian education was about making meaning and meaning making. There were thousands of words that I used in the word salad, that was my paper, to flesh this out. But I still do believe some of it today. The idea goes something like this. Children come to us with an innate relationship to God, an understanding of who He is. It's our job to help them make meaning of what they already feel and know. And it's then our job to provide them with the stories of our faith, to live into that meaning, to help them make more meaning of their understanding of God. It wasn't all bad. As time went on, I went into my Martha Stewart phase of Christian education. I'm not very proud of it. I would speak about stocking our children's pantries with all these things that they needed in life. Knowledge of scripture, worship, outreach, community, and just insert some more word salad stuff in there. In my mind, you really could just stock this gorgeous pantry, perfect, picture perfect, of life in the church, and the outcome would be neat and orderly and wonderful, just something Martha would make. So our children would be able to, as they grow, reach in there and immediately be able to pull out exactly what they needed for whatever life challenge was facing them. And then I had my own children. And basically, they set to firebombing that pantry from the moment of their birth. It is laughable and probably predictable that I had gotten so much wrong, no matter how well-intentioned I was. But until I had to sit through a service with my own children misbehaving, I had not really understood the profound spiritual agony and discipline of not completely losing it with your children in church. I remember thinking that no one's children ever behaved as badly as mine did. And my children will readily tell you that some of the worst talking to's or yelling at's that they have ever experienced with me were on car rides home on a Sunday when they were younger, and maybe last week. I'm a bit older now, and I wear some different perspectives. Now I just want to pat the shoulder of the mama who's trying to get her little one to be still and talking to that child without unclenching her teeth. And bless the daddies that I find outside whose little ones have fallen out in a tantrum on the bricks. They look so shell-shocked. Now my model of Christian education is stated in just three words. Known, loved, belong. That's it. We are known by God, we are loved by God, and we belong to God. And my hope is that our children feel known to us in this community, loved by this community, and that they understand that they belong to this community. All those wonderful things I had envisioned in my Martha Stewart pantry are good ways of helping children understand these truths. Learning the stories of our faith in Scripture, understanding our worship practices, serving others in need. There are many ways that we offer them a taste of life being known and loved and counted as a child of God. But to try to impose a rigid order or structure on those wonderful mysteries, it's wasted energy. My mother loves to tell a story about me as a little one in church. I was probably about two when this happened. We worshiped in the summers at St. Peter's Church in Gilbertsville, Kentucky, by Kentucky Lake. It was a tiny mission church, and instead of pews, they had those fold-up chairs where the kneeler actually popped out. They were very dangerous, especially for two-year-olds who have gangly arms and legs, and I managed to get myself all twisted into the chair. And my mother had to extract me from the chair, and she said it took forever. And I'm sure she was undone by this. Once she scooped me up, freed me, and we were heading out of the sanctuary so she could check me out and I'm sure to regain her own composure. She stopped at the door, and the priest was right in the middle of consecrating the Eucharist. And just as she got to the door, I loudly announced, "I's okay, I's be right back," and waved to the whole congregation. If I could, I would hug every single member of that tiny congregation present that day around the neck. Whatever they had done, whatever spirit they had imparted to my little two-year-old self, I was clearly certain that I belonged there. And that feeling has stuck with me my whole life. In today's reading from Acts, Peter is astonished by the fact that even the Gentiles seem to get this thing about Jesus. He asks, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" I wonder where Peter's feelings about children and youth fell. Some may argue that children are too little or too young to understand God, or they don't have enough knowledge or experience of this world to truly get it. But how and why would we ever withhold anything from our children? Why would we ever try to diminish their belovedness in the kingdom of God? How could our eyes be so blind as to not recognize the work that God is already doing in them and through them? We promise at the baptism of each and every child that we will support them in their life in Christ. We welcome them into our fold by saying, "We receive you into the household of God. Confess the faith of Christ crucified. Proclaim the resurrection and share with us in his eternal priesthood." That's no small promise. A life lived in a community where children are lifted up and valued for what they bring to the whole is so much fuller and richer. I promise you that my faith has been deepened by the questions and insights and experiences I've had with my children and the children and youth I've had the privilege to learn alongside. I'm sure that our Sunday school teachers and youth leaders would say the same. I cannot imagine a church without them, and certainly no kingdom of God without them. And if we fail to live into our baptismal vows, if we hold back, we risk missing the opportunity we have been given to carry on the story and the way of life that generations before us have handed down since the time of Peter. As a mother, I live most of my days in some sort of a panic. I could be worried over my children's schoolwork or friendships or college or what comes after college. But these are things that I have some influence over, small, but some influence over. What I worry more about are the hidden dangers, the surprises, the unforeseen circumstances that could rock their world, shake them to their core. And I've lived long enough to watch these earth-shattering events play out in real time in my life and the lives of those I love. Kate Bastrop, a Unitarian pastor and chaplain to the Maine Warden Service, has said, "The question isn't whether we're going to have to do hard things, awful things, because we are. We all are. The question is whether we have to do them alone. We receive you into the household of God. Share it with us. We promise these children that no matter what, they belong. There is nothing, nothing in this life that they will have to do alone. They belong to us." I bring my children here because I want them to know that whatever comes at them, they are known and loved and belong in this household of God. I know that my love is not enough to sustain them in this life. It's a painful truth, but I know it to be so. But here they have a chance to know and grow into a love which is inexplicable, beyond measure. And you bear that witness to them. You show them the kingdom of God. You love them as you are loved, as we're called to in today's gospel. You do this in large and small ways. Andrew and Bob and Matt and their Sunday school teachers and youth group leaders are often at the front of the charge. But the gentle hands who button the back of a dress that was missed getting ready for church, the one who takes notice of an interest in hunting and stops to talk, the one who stops to share a happy experience with one of my babies, this is it. This is the promise being lived out in our very midst. Nothing is held back. And I watch it play out over and over again. The exchanges between adults and youth and children. Adult volunteers connect to our children and youth here every single Sunday. And children smile and share their stories and laughter and their own brand of wisdom with one another and the grown-ups around them. This place is abuzz with Jesus' commandment to love one another. It is an extraordinary and humbling thing to witness. So today we celebrate the children and youth of St. Mary's. They are already a part of the foundations of this place. We claim them as fully and corporate members of this sacred community we are blessed to live in. Someday, all too soon, the children and youth in our midst today will be grown and heading out that door. Some we may see at holidays when they're home from school. Some may return in their 20s ready to serve and participate. Others will find their way here for weddings and baptisms, and then eventually find their spots as Sunday school teachers and leaders and future vestry members. Some of our kids will choose a different path to follow their search of love in this world. Some may return when the bottom is dropped out, thankfully remembering our promise that they are never alone. And no matter what path our children take, my prayer for them is that they walk out our doors with a deep sense of being known and loved here, that they belong here. And maybe, too, they will say as they head out that door, "I'm okay. I'll be right back." May it be so. I speak to you in the name of the Good Shepherd, by whom we are known and loved and to whom we belong.